Christopher Mitchell. I'm the director of the Community Broadband Networks Initiative at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance in Minneapolis, and spend most of my time working on ways that communities can have really great access to the internet that's fast, affordable, and reliable, using strategies that will serve them over the long term rather than just focusing on a quick solution.
Now, as for those who may not be familiar with the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, what is it and how do you explain it?
The Institute for Local Self-Reliance is a 40-year-old small nonprofit organization, and our focus is on empowering local communities to succeed by using the resources they have available. We're strongly in favor of local decision-making and taking responsibility, as well as always forget how to phrase as well. I guess we're interested in local communities being able to take responsibility for their futures rather than having more decisions made at the state and federal levels.
As for this Mountain Connect Rural Broadband Conference, can you explain how this came together and why here in the local area? It's in Vail, which is up the road from Aspen, but still sort of for the folks who are in the Rockies.
Yes, Mountain Connect, I think this will be the third or the fourth year that it's being held. And it's a conference that looks at what can be done, in many cases at the local level, to invest in networks that the big private companies, I think in this area mostly CenturyLink, but also some of the cable companies, to invest in these networks that those kinds of big companies have not built. So it looks at a number of strategies. There's a lot of people that are going to be interested in local government opportunities, cooperative opportunities, and then also for local businesses to work for this sort of thing, but not so much the big mega corporations. I think it's really one of the reasons that I'm attending it rather than, I guess I should say that, one of the reasons that I'm attending it is because there's a lot of interesting things that are happening in Colorado. Longmont's building a very interesting network that's going to offer some of the fastest speeds in the country at a really affordable rate. Montrose is just moving forward with an interesting approach. Down in the southwest, Cortez has been building a network that's going to provide a lot more options. So the local businesses already have access to many more service providers. And there's other cities that are really starting to look at what they can do. So it's a pretty exciting place, Colorado meaning.
Now, when we talk about rural broadband, is the reason why we see limited choice in these rural areas is because of lower populations, or is it just because of how maybe franchise rights are handed out, much like it was for cable, or is there something else going on?
There's a number of things going on. Rural areas have been neglected in large part by the private sector because you have to invest more to get a smaller return in order to serve them. So it costs more to build networks in the rural areas, and you have fewer households and businesses that are going to be generating revenue to make that investment. But it's important to note that some rural areas actually have very good service. And so I like to say that in the United States, we don't really have a rural broadband problem so much as we have very specific rural broadband problems. There's a number of places where cooperatives in rural areas get better access to the internet and they deliver better access to their customers than we get in major cities. So in Colorado, you may find that some of the best access may actually be in rural areas, but you'll also find that rural areas have some of the greatest need for more investment because companies like CenturyLink and Windstream, they don't invest in the rural areas in the same way that cooperatives do. The cooperatives put so much more emphasis on local investments because they live there. They're going to live there in 10 years probably. And so they're not trying to just extract wealth and deliver it back to shareholders or to Wall Street. They're really focused on making the community as good as it can be. So I guess the issue is that it is more expensive and it's more difficult to serve rural areas, but that is not the definite future. You can change that future by having appropriate ownership structures.
So what I'm hearing you say is that co-ops seem to be the way to go, or do you think that major players within the industry can bring in quality and affordability at the same time?
I think in rural areas, co-ops are the way to go. I think almost 100 years of rural electrification have proved that. And I would say that it is possible to entice some of these big companies to invest in rural areas, but what you end up doing is spending a lot more to subsidize them year after year than a co-op would need. And in many cases, those big companies are still delivering worse service, not just in terms of internet access speeds, but also customer service. A lot of times if you talk to people about the customer service they get from their co-op and then maybe compare it to a wireless network provider like AT&T or Verizon, you find that people just have a much better experience when the network is locally owned.
What seems to be things that get in the way of building these co-ops, or are there ways in order to help foster them?
Well, I think the main challenge is access to capital. We often look back to electrification, and we used co-ops to electrify the countryside. And we did that with smart federal policies that made loans available to those co-ops. Right now, there's some programs through USDA, and some states have programs. I believe Colorado has one that I'm not super familiar with. But the co-ops ultimately need access to some form of capital because they need to make an investment that may take them 10 or 20 years to pay off. It's an investment that is necessary for these communities to thrive, and they probably don't need any grant money, but they do need a low interest rate and a long-term loan in order to pay that back. And historically, those sorts of terms come from government programs more than from local banks or the private sector.
You've mentioned several times electric co-ops and things like that. Do you see broadband as a utility in much that way? Do you think that there needs to be a way for the government to change its thinking in that way in order for these things to happen, as you mentioned?
I think internet access has a lot of utility-like features. And we're in a transition where it's moving from maybe 15, 20 years ago, we would have said definitely not a utility to today being much more like a utility. However, utilities often are either exclusive or regulated in so that the public has much more oversight. We don't see that right now. So I think the federal government and state governments do have to change the way they think about the internet, and they need to change the way it's regulated. I should say, no one wants to regulate the internet. No one, I think, that I support would want to regulate the internet, but we need to regulate internet access to make sure that people have are getting what they're paying for and that they're able to connect to the internet in an affordable way with fast speeds that will support their businesses and their usage. But when it comes down to the state and federal policies, right now we see more of an anything-goes, hands-off kind of approach. And that's bad, I think, and certainly could be worse for consumers over the long term, as we have not a lot of choices. In a lot of communities in Colorado, you're only going to have a choice between a cable company, if you're lucky, or a DSL company. So everyone in Colorado has access to telephone, and probably most people have access to DSL, and people who live in a more urban area are going to have access to cable as well. So you have two choices for internet, the DSL and the cable, and other people only have one choice. And that's a real problem that can be resolved by better regulations that encourage investment.
Over the last several years, I've seen that some small towns, in fact, and you may know this more than I, there was a city in the South, I want to say Alabama, Mississippi, or something like that, that undertook a local initiative for internet service in that way. And I was wondering what you see as maybe is that a way to go? Not so much co-ops, but maybe a city or a municipality saying, we're going to build this and bring in competition. Or could you just have more competition? For example, here in Aspen, it's pretty much Comcast or nothing. So how could you bring in more competition in order to lower prices and maybe have better customer service and better service overall?
Well, I think it's a very good question. Fundamentally, it's very hard to compete with Comcast. And in rural areas in particular, it's difficult to have any sort of competition because if you can't get a majority of subscribers, you may not be able to pay for your investment. And so the issue of competition changes depending on how dense of an area we're talking about. In a place like Aspen or in some of the larger cities, you'll see that a cable company has tremendous capacity to scare off any other private company challenges. And this is one of the reasons that my organization is so supportive of municipal approaches and cooperative approaches, because these are entities that invest for the long term. The private sector really is looking for a return on investment within 2-3 years at a longer time horizon. And it's very hard to compete with a Comcast and get a quick return on your investment. But if you invest over a longer horizon, and if you're willing to take 5 years or more to break even, then that can be more successful. Nationwide, we have over 150 networks that deliver citywide internet access that are owned by the local government. And there's more than 400 local governments that have been involved in investing in these kinds of networks to mostly connect businesses or to make better internet available to some local private entity. In Colorado, there's a few of them, not very many, but Longmont is one of the most ambitious right now. And frankly, most of the cities that have done this are more heavily populated or in the more heavily populated regions east of the Mississippi. Out west, is just there's so much fewer people that we see much more interest in the co-ops. But there's a real potential to join co-ops and municipalities. We've seen this in a couple of places where either a county or a municipal government may be working with a co-op so that they can leverage the local government's ability to borrow and the co-op's proven service record, so the co-op would use infrastructure built by the county or the city to deliver services to the community. And that can be a real terrific partnership.
You said that the Mountain Connect Rural Broadband Conference has been going on several years now. What have you seen as some of the topics that continue to come up, maybe some areas that have been solved or new things on the horizon that people are talking about and really want to do?
Well, I think a continuing debate and discussion is the appropriate role of local governments and what one can expect from municipal investment. So if a municipal government was to only invest in making what we call dark fiber available, which is to say basically putting fiber in the ground that could be used by someone else, and this other entity would have to then take that fiber along these major corridors and build more off of it, would that spur more investment? And I think the record has shown that the more you expect the other entity to invest, the less interest we see from those kinds of partners. And so there's a continuing debate as to what is the best policy to try and get the kind of competition and choices that we want. I think there's also been a lot of discussion over the EagleNet has been controversial throughout Colorado, where they made a number of decisions that have proved to be unpopular, and there's been a lot of frustration, I think, on both sides. I don't know if that will continue this year or not, but it seems that I know several school districts are reporting that they're paying far less for internet access because of EagleNet. And so I expect there will be at least some discussion about that, but that's been one of the more controversial projects nationwide. So I'm sure that'll come up. But I think fundamentally the overriding issue is that at Mountain Connect, the people who go there recognize that local governments, communities, local businesses have to take action, because if we just rely on the big national companies, they're not going to invest very much into rural Colorado. So that's something that I think brings all of us together there. And we have some disagreements as to what the best investments are, but we all recognize that there has to be local involvement in building this infrastructure, or Colorado will be left behind.
And as for people who do live in those areas, such as listeners to Aspen Public Radio, how can they get involved in order to make these things happen? What's the best places for them to go?
Oh, that's a terrific question. I think the first place to go is to check with local government and to get a sense of whether they're doing anything at this point. If you have a local ISP, a local internet service provider, which isn't totally uncommon in a number of rural areas, I think reaching out to them and getting a sense of what are barriers to them delivering better internet access, maybe. I think there's... I run a website, muninetworks.org, that has a lot of information about what people are doing around the country. And one of the reasons for that is because you may find that a community in Idaho has very similar demographics to your community in Colorado, and what they're doing may be pretty inspiring. There's these things called dig once policies that local governments have started doing, where if you're going to be installing a big water project or rebuilding a road, or in the instance of those horrible floods that happened in Colorado just a year and a half ago, I believe, those sorts of projects, you can add communications infrastructure to them at a pretty low cost when it's coupled with an ongoing capital project. So basically, the answer is that people need to, I think, look to local governments to get a sense of whether they're interested in already trying to figure this place out. And if not, then people need to really push on local government to say, hey, this is important, and you have to develop a plan because no one else is going to do it for you. People who are members of electric co-ops can look to the co-op board and get a sense of if they have a plan, if there's a need. Same thing with telephone co-ops. Telephone co-ops have done a pretty good job of expanding to fiber in a lot of rural areas to deliver better service. So I think in some cases you may need to create a new institution, but in a lot of cases the existing entities should be at least the first points of contact to get a sense of whether there's activity to improve conditions.
Is there anything you want to add that maybe I forgot to ask you about on this?
The interesting thing right now is that in rural areas, there's a challenge, but it's not as much of a policy fight in a lot of places. If you were going to try and build a municipal network in Denver, you would see Comcast and CenturyLink fighting you so hard, it would be almost inconceivable. It would be such a major political fight. Whereas in the more rural areas, you have a challenge in that there's an access. You have to get access to capital, but it's not as much of a political fight in many ways. And so we shouldn't be surprised if over the next number of years we see areas like Longmont have much superior access to Denver, and certainly other rural areas that are further away from the metro, could even have superior access. And that may be a part of an economic development strategy, or it might just be a means of making sure that when kids go off to college and university, they want to come back to those towns and they see an economic opportunity to do so.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.